Once a month, we hear what it is like to live with mental illness. Our guides are the people of Southern Oregon Compass House in Medford. It's built on the clubhouse model of community mental health care. It is a place where people with persistent mental illness come together to support each other and their shared place. This month, we meet Min and Dan, a married couple working at Southern Oregon Compass House. Both are without eyesight. Min's been blind since birth. Dan has been losing his sight all of his life. They spent some time talking with Compass House's Remington Jarvey about life, love, and their Shih Tzu guide dog.
I was born in Palo Alto, California, but my family moved around a lot. We've been to various places, San Francisco and Florida, back and forth, and Connecticut, and somehow we wound up back here in Southern Oregon and moved to Portland for a little while and met my wife.
I actually moved from the East Coast just last year. I lived in Connecticut, then Boston, and then here.
We met through a Bible study and through a gaming site for the blind. We kind of hit it off. We've been married for about a year and a half, almost coming up on a year and a half now. My wife is due December 30th to January 2nd, so we might have a New Year's baby. We're going to have a boy, and his name will be Silas.
I don't think we're nervous about any challenges. I think we're always excited for a new adventure. My diagnoses have changed throughout the multiple counselors that I've seen. Some have said I've had PTSD, some have said that I just have plain depression, and my final diagnosis sometime this year was anxiety disorder. Part of my anxiety is sometimes I can't see what is exactly happening, so it comes out in the sense that I'm being impatient, but it's really that I'm not sure like what step, for example, if I ask Dan for something, what step he is at in getting said utensil. It takes teamwork, you know, between mm-hmm. the two of us, and him just, just explaining what's going on or if he got distracted, because I've really been appreciative of him, you know, being patient and other people, you know, being understanding as well. And I really haven't found any set coping skills except for having Coda with me. He tends to calm me down or...
I have to say, she's made a lot of progress that I've personally noticed. And, we go to church and we pray, and she prays a lot, and she's amazing. Like, the amount of progress she's made, and she might not see it all herself, but I have definitely seen a lot, and it's great teamwork. We work well together, so I just noticed the different stages of going blind, just the difference between communication between people that are sighted and non-sighted. A lot of time the detail needed or not needed in a situation, people not being able to see past what they comprehend right away. Like Min and I were in a cab the other day, and there was a lady in the back seat, and she gets out of the car, and Min says, "Don't forget your water bottle." And she goes, "How did you see that?" And Min said, "Well, basically, I just know, because you know, Min, even though the lady could see the water bottle." We didn't have to see it. Min could hear it. And, to us, it's a difference between a bass drum and a snare drum. To her, it's just a picture, you know, and she's not focused on what it sounds like because that's not a necessity. But, you know, our other senses adapt and are more heightened because we use them in the way we need them. Just because you don't feel like some people understand you doesn't mean that everybody's not going to understand you, you know, and we're all in a learning process. You know, keep at it. You know, don't give up. Keep standing.
I would definitely, you know, encourage those who have a diagnosis to come and take a tour and mm-hmm. get involved because it's great. It helps you build skills and helps you get back out into the community if you're feeling isolated in any way, shape, or form.
That's Min and Dan from Southern Oregon Compass House in Medford. This month's focus subjects are our visitors on this month's edition of Compass Radio. Chris Folden is the development coordinator at Compass House and here in the studio with me. Good to see you, Chris.
Good to see you.
So the thing that Min was saying at the end about encouraging other people to come out to Compass House, remind us, first of all, how many people are served by Compass House? How many are Clubhouse members at this point?
So we have over 680 members currently. We have an average of 34 people who walk through the doors every day and participate in our program.
All right, so not the same 34 people every day, obviously.
No, we have roughly about 132 people who come in every month, and you know that kind of rotates through. A lot of our people are also working in the community, so it's difficult for them to actually come in. We're excited to get into our new space eventually, so that way people don't feel kind of crowded and increase that anxiety that sometimes can come with being in, you know, smaller spaces.
Well, and that was what I was getting toward, was Min's discussion of encouraging other people to come out to the Compass House. And I didn't even stop to think about the fact that there may be people who are feeling reluctant about it for one reason or another. I mean, do you think there's a much larger audience you could be serving, particularly once you get into the new larger place?
Yeah, there's also a member that came every day for the period of about a month, and I hadn't realized that she came every day and sat outside in her car because she was too afraid to come in. And then once she came in, she sat and she cried for about a period of an hour, you know, 2 days worth. She came in for an hour, cried, and then left, and then came back and cried again because she had never found a place that was that welcoming and had accepted her for her and actually wanted her to be there, wanted to utilize her skills, strengths, and talents.
So what? Where do people go if they don't have Compass House? Where, for example, were Min and Dan likely to have gone if there were no Compass House for them?
Well, fortunately for them, they had a higher power and were going to a church, and there are other community supports, but they're fairly limited for places to go where you can build skills and acquire resources. And we're just trying to, you know, be one of the community partners out there, trying to do the best we can to give every opportunity to a vulnerable and often marginalized population.
So they are, they're actually working at Compass House and their Clubhouse members too. Is that a fairly common crossover?
Something that is unique about Compass House is they don't focus on what's wrong with you because, I mean, we are all more than, you know, a diagnosis or blindness or anything else that, you know, people struggle through. We're more than that. We have strengths, talents, and abilities. And, you know, just having someone to believe in you to bring those out and just ask for your help. Hey, would you help me with this? You know, it kind of changes things. Like, yeah, actually, I can.
One of the things I noticed too, when we got the tour at the new place, and I assume it's in force at the old place as well, is that there's no place that's marked staff only at Compass House.
That's correct. Every opportunity is built around members and staff working side by side together. That's where we grow, and I mean, I learn and grow from members all the time. Dan and Min have shown incredible strength, resolve, and talent and ability. Like, they're running our cafe, counting out cash, selling tickets, chopping up food and cooking in the culinary unit. I mean, they are rocking it in there. And you would never know that they, you know, had visual impairment until, like, you know, they asked for something that you hadn't really kind of thought, oh, yeah, I suppose you can't see that, huh?
Visual impairment aside, I was struck once again by Min's story, which sounds like such a common one, that they went through at least two things that were not quite right on in terms of a diagnosis for what ailed her mentally. But but this seems to be a common story where it's like it's not like diagnosing a bone break where mental health care still has to go through a bunch of trials and errors to get to the right place.
Yeah, for centuries we've been focusing on, you know, fixing broken bones and things like that, and the mental health side of things are catching up, and they're, you know, catching up rather quickly. We're changing the way that we think about mental health overall, and really glad that organizations like Compass House are around to help that.
We appreciate the fact that Southern Oregon Compass House provides a new story to us every month through Compass Radio to help us better understand the people who are members of the clubhouse. Thanks to Remington Jarvey for collecting this this month's interview. Thanks to Min and Dan for taking part in the interview. And thanks to Chris Fulton, the development coordinator at Compass House, for stepping in today. Elizabeth is sick and Chris is not feeling really well either. But so thanks so much for coming by the Jefferson Exchange.